There's nothing better to keep you company when you're not listening to Summer of Stein podcast than an audio book from Audible. Our listeners can get a great deal from Audible. Start a 30-day trial with Audible and your first audio book is free. Go to audible.com/robpodcast or text the word Rob Podcast to 500-500. You can do it with audiobooks. Summer of Stein. Eric, let's show your answer. That is five?
Yes. I think the math checks out.
Yes. Eric was writing down furiously, a la Rockstar, on his legal pad.
I forgot to carry the two.
Yes. All right. Eric Stein, Summer Stein, week six. Can you believe it, Eric? How are you?
I'm sweating through my shirt like Brett. Yeah. But actually, this is not a joke. I had a very important meeting with an esteemed television creator this morning, and I was so sweaty after getting off the subway and meeting this gentleman that the first thing he said to me is, "Mighty clammy out there. Nice to meet you." Followed by the fact that although I was in an enormous time crunch before we started recording, I actually had to take a second shower of the morning prior to filming this, and I might have to throw my shirt away outright. So I feel you, Brett. Solidarity.
Mighty clammy.
Yeah, I didn't feel like that was a real good start to the possible collaboration there.
And it's very cold in the Big Brother house, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, yes, but it was hot on the streets
today.
Yeah,
not that clammy there. All right. Well, a lot to talk about again for another week as we are rolling along here in Big Brother 20. A lot to get to. Eric, it was such a wild eviction night this past week. And, you know, we have, you know, crazy eviction nights, but this one seemed like it was emotionally charged between Brett's speech and then Rachel coming out of the house so upset. Julie really being very rough with Rachel in the house guest post-eviction interview. It was a night to remember.
All I have to say is, oof, that was a tough one. But actually, that was honestly one of the most uncomfortable interviews that I can ever remember. I felt genuinely bad for Rachel, and I think we all had hopes that she was going to evolve into something more as the season went on, and she may or may not have, but we do know she was a huge fan. We do know she was completely betrayed for really no reason whatsoever by her alliance, and viciously so. And I could not imagine being her in that situation, not understanding what's going on. And then the very peculiar lashing out from Julie, where she's not even saying anything about her best moments from the show. You know, she's not allowing her to offer any insight, just really browbeating her about the whole thing. And I'm trying to put myself in that seat, turned on by my alliance, not understanding why, devastated that I did not make the jury and I didn't go further. And then Julie's just laying it. It was very uncomfortable to watch. I don't really know what was going on there. It was very bizarre.
Eric, I've seen a couple times on the Off the Block show with Ross and Marissa, they have like the little like popsicle sticks of like the heads in it, and they want to know like who do you think was in level six? Who do you think? And I feel like that Julie has been influenced by this. I feel like that she wants to scoop the, not in the JC sort of way, but she wants to scoop Ross and Marissa and do the who was in level six. Tell me.
Well, if you're Rachel in that situation, what you want to say is, how the F should I know, Julie? If I knew this, I would have done something to stop my eviction. You know, so she's really like going through. It's actually a soul crushing moment to see the light bulb going off as she's trying to answer these questions and formulate this theory herself.
I don't know.
Well,
you really, better know.
Really, truly did not know. And worst of all, James Ryan is engaged now, so she can't even go hang out with him in Vegas.
Wow.
I know. This is you can't even do your normal consolation prize when you're out pre-jury like this. This is terrible.
And he's engaged to a Big Brother contestant?
Yeah, it's, shockingly, no.
What?
I'm sure there'll be several in attendance, though.
Okay. All right. Well, we saw Rachel come out of the house. We saw the emergence of Angela. You know, one of my favorite moments from this week was the Angela goodbye message to Rachel, followed by Julie asking,
final thoughts. What are you thinking?
What's wrong with Angela?
What do you think of our...
It's a fair question.
Yeah. New antagonist, Angela.
Awful. I do not like it at all. Awful. I actually think this is a rare case where it's I know this is going to be an obscure reference for a lot of your listeners, but this is what in pro wrestling we call bad heat, not good heat. This is turn off the TV heat.
Like too clammy?
Yes, yes, exactly. It's like being too clammy at a big meeting. What you're looking for in a villain is someone you love to hate, right? Angela is someone who you actually just hate now. She has said nothing for weeks on end. She is the type of person that you actually contemplate changing the channel when she's on the screen. Now, and I know a lot of people feel like, no, this is the queen that we've wanted, and she's cold as ice, and she's ruthless. But it's pointless ruthlessness. There's no actual objective to it. There's no rhyme or reason. There's nothing that has made her be this way. So I think what we're really just being informed to is the fact that she's been a pretty nasty person right from the get-go, and now she's just having something to relish in, possibly. I spent a lot of time wondering what's wrong with Angela as well.
But
she's
aggravated. Are you enjoying the super extra being mean for no reason of it all with Angela?
That I am enjoying. And I actually have enjoyed that for the whole cast at large. I feel like maybe production told them, lean into your characters this year. You know, I feel like everyone is kind of just like owning the direction they're taking. And also, I feel like everyone's so blunt, which is incredibly hilarious. You see, I mean... if you have any degree of a soul, you're thinking, you know, I'm going to know these people in life outside of this. I don't need to be unnecessarily cruel to them, but they do not have that on their radar. I mean, one thing that cracked me up this week was JC talking about how Fessy has no brains whatsoever in his head.
He talks about it a lot.
Yeah, and this is like this is probably going to be his friend for life, and he's just going in the diary room and just telling his honest to goodness thoughts. So I love that Angela is owning her villainship. I'm just not sure that it's the best look for her. I'm not sure what her end game is here. And I found it. I understand. Maybe I'm being like, maybe I've softened with age. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe I would have been Angela once upon a time, but I really just didn't grasp what Rachel did to her. So it felt to me like Angela was trying to justify her own betraying of Rachel in her own mind. And the only way she could get herself there is if she convinced herself that that Rachel did something wrong and she was upset with her. But I don't think that Rachel deserved the ire that she received from Angela. Yeah, so I don't know.
Oh, you know, all roads always in this house lead back to Tyler, and Rachel tried to tell Angela that Tyler said, and she's like, Tyler wouldn't say that. He's my friend from Hilton Head, South Carolina. So Rachel must be lying.
Great buddies. Yeah, it's another Raven and Paul on our hands.
Right.
They secretly hung out there. They were photographed together in Hilton Head, no doubt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they met before the show. Eric, we had the introduction of the hacker twist this week. We'll talk about that surely in this hour or so. But last night we got to see Sam conduct a house meeting. What'd you think of what Sam was trying to accomplish?
I thought it was amazing. Just amazing. Why didn't I ever think of this inside of the house? I mean, this could have been the answer to everything. Just call a house meeting and say, you guys don't compete. Give me all the power. Let me decide everything and we'll keep the peace. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she says, you know, Aunt Fairness over there is a regular Mrs. Doubtfire. I don't even know what that means. I don't even know where she thinks she is anymore or what she's doing. I think it's a good niche for her, though. I really, she's settling into the fairness morality police, yeah. Because it's making her very easy to overlook from the other people because she's in a complete laughingstock. I mean, it's to the point where no one even reacted to this. They were like, classic Sam right there. Right, we're not going to do that. All right, girl. But like, in other seasons, that would have completely blown up in Sam's face and ended up with her on the block. So I thought it was just fantastic. I hope she continues to make such genius suggestions.
It's just weird that she's in this role as matriarch. I'm not sure if I'm using that word right, of the house. And, you know, she's only 27 years old. I mean, you know, they talk about Sam like, you know, she's this woman who's in like her 40s or 50s of like the mom, everybody's mom in the house. She's 27, right?
Yeah, it's incredibly bizarre. I had a realization recently, like on my season, we thought of Kale as just being decrepitly old at the time. She was completely out of the social mix. It was like, why is my grandmother here telling me that I need to go to bed and, you know, eat my vitamins? And I realized that I'm older now than she was then.
Yeah.
Sam, it really hit me hard because I'd like to, in my mind, think that if I was back on the show, I could be hanging out in the backyard. I'm not going to be telling anyone you're flirting too much and be the morality police. I'm Captain Fun Times. I'll be hanging out with everyone. But realistically, I would probably go the way of Summer of Steve. just, you know, to bed by 7 and that's the end of it.
Bath at 6, right.
Exactly. I really don't know where the Sam narrative is coming from, other than I guess it's self-appointed. She's the fun police.
Yeah, Sam was born in 1991, Eric. Sam is a millennial. Your t-shirt of the Zach Attack is as old as
Sam. Yeah, she was 2 when Saved by the Bell went off the air, in fact. Yes, but she's a proper lady, and she's been, you know, raised, yes, as a lady of a high standard and practices.
Also, she's 27 years old, and again, she's saying things like, you know, I haven't touched a computer in 5 years. Like, she says things like, oh, well, you know, I guess that, you know, people of her generation, they probably, you know, or don't use the computer, but she's 27.
Yeah. And dressing for the live shows, like, the Rosie the Riveter.
Right.
It's like, maybe I know you've had these theories in the past. Maybe she has actually time traveled into the future.
I think so.
She's either 2018, rather.
She's either had some sort of a time travel or like a Freaky Friday type of experiment where she switched bodies with her mom. Maybe that's the issue here.
Maybe that's how she got through casting. Like, she bumped her head in her trailer, switched with her mom. That was like her whole sob story going into it, and they're just saving it for like a big moment on the show.
Yeah. Well, what happened in Freaky Friday? Was that a wish, Eric? There's a new Freaky Friday coming
up. I just watched I Feel Pretty.
How was that?
With him, brutally bad. Sam would not like it. It was not good for female empowerment. But she conked her head and imagined that she was living out the scene Big. And then she envisioned herself differently. So, you know, maybe Sam is so young, in fact, that she is reliving a Zoltar wish possibly here.
Yes. So you think that she went to Zoltar, put her money in and said, like, I want to be mature.
Yeah, she's like, I wish I was from the 19th. It's the worst accent. From the 1950s in a fine and proper moral lady, and I can impart that on my fellow house guests.
You know, the movie Big came out, I believe, 4 years before Sam was born also.
I've wished I was big many times and never happened. Never got that maturity wish follow through either.
Oh, okay. Eric, did you happen to catch the reality Fear Factor this week?
I did. I was very impressed by Caleb's brother.
One of the great survivors.
Yeah, his nose piece didn't fall off, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah. Were you a fan of the original Fear Factor, Eric?
I was a moderate fan of the show. I was amused. I mean, I really enjoy Brendan and Rachel. I like them very much, so I was happy to see them do well. I was as confused as everybody as to where they got these survivor pairings from. Mm-hmm. You would think somebody. I mean, did they only reach out to the three of them? Like, who are the passes in your mind? Yeah, like, who did they reach out to that did not accept this?
Well, I think there might have been a lot of people that did accept, but I feel like that these survivors are so thirsty. I feel like that they had to be have been like looking at a board, and it was like, all right, well, like, okay, this person. Because I remember when they announced it, I feel like that there was a lot of survivor people like on Twitter, like, pick me, I'll go, and also all over the place. And I feel like that they could have picked a lot of different people. Like, who was on, like, whose Polaroids did they have in a casting office? They're like, let's just go with this guy and then his brother who wasn't on the Survivor.
And not for nothing, Sierra also. You know,
look, Sierra Dawn Thomas has been on two seasons of Survivor. She's a game changer.
I feel like I would have liked to see Hannah, possibly. I think she was.
I think she would have said no.
I think she would have been greatly comedic. Yeah, she seems like a nice modern day option that I would have liked to see on the show. I think there was a bit of a misfire there, and very bizarre. Other than as you noted with the great Mike Bloom. It's distinctly possible that both Fear Factor production and Ludacris quite literally didn't know that Caleb was on the season.
Is no chance that they knew.
To this day, I do not know what this man has on all of his casting producers, but it's something, all right? He must have Polaroids.
Yeah. All right, Eric, let's talk about a huge story at this hour. Hacker competition this week. Just from a game standpoint, do you like the hacker competition?
Well, it's great to see Annie Winnington back as the saboteur in the house. I recognize that voice immediately and the hoodie. I've seen this before somewhere. I do like it. It is very, very powerful, which does seem a little bit bizarre, but I thought it was fun. I enjoyed the play at home element. I liked seeing everyone's reaction in real time. I think it's reasonable enough. It's something that you can work around. It's not like a death sentence for anybody. So, I was actually on board with it.
Okay. Eric, the question that was most requested from you at this hour. So many people want you to comment on Brett the Hacker and his trying to get to the word alliance, came up with a different anagram for the word alliance, which in all the years of talking about alliance, I'm surprised that nobody else has stumbled upon this earlier, that his attempt...
Yes, this would be a more apt naming of several alliances.
Yeah, he ends up going, typing into the computer, he comes up with A-N-A-L-L-I-C-E, anal lice.
I feel, look at this shit eating grin on this man's face. You think lice that he was trying grin. To type alliance? I think he knew full well what he was typing.
Oh, and
I think
he knew.
Very self-congratulatory that he was able to put this together, as well he should be. I mean, honestly, as a word scramble, this is even better. You know, it kind of reminded me as some of the Arrested Development, you know, bits of the misconstrued phrasing of things through the years. You see, the good thing about anal lice is that you can just shave it out. It's not that big of a deal. You know, it's like, you know, it sounds worse than it actually is. So that's why I think it was allowed to make the edited show.
Okay. So many people were talking about this.
Is it possible that that's what's wrong with Angela?
Uh huh.
That's why she's so agitated.
Taylor Martina wants to know, Eric, have you ever had any experiences with anal lice?
I mean, everyone does in the Big Brother house. We've all heard about the ant infestation.
Worse than the ants.
Yeah, but they try and sweep the Edelweiss infestation under the rug. You know, it's just bad press. But we've all been there. You know, I'm sure that that's what inspired Brett as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, Eric, we got a lot of people writing into us about the Edelweiss, and we got
naturally.
So, you know, again, my Twitter mentions were infested last night with Edelweiss, and so many people were talking about this, and we have to give a shout out to a number of people who came up with this idea. I saw Amy Cook talk about this. I saw Antonio Mazzaro talk about this. But one of our intrepid listeners, Corey B., actually worked something out for you, Eric. We have the ballad of Brett the Hacker here today.
Hey, Rob and Eric, I just thought you could use a nice song from The Sound of Music.
Edelweiss, Brett would try to decrypt thee. Edelweiss,
this is haunting.
I hope that you don't afflict me.
Yeah, that's all I have. It's like 1 a.m.
It's beautiful, Eric.
Oh my God, that was both haunting and heartfelt and touching, and probably was itching. A subplot of The Sound of Music as well. Those are tough times. Anyway, I would say that probably Brett's iconic moment from the show. I know everyone thinks he's known for his speeches, but now he's probably known for his Edelweiss.
Yeah.
So, I mean, as well he should be. I think we're getting a lot of lice for our buck here with Brett. Yeah. You think production provided a special shampoo after that, possibly?
Perhaps.
You pick a storage room. I think what I'm as I said before, Brett's leaning full bro now. All right, they just told him, Brett, listen, this is who you are on the show, so you may as well just go for it.
Except
he is owning it, and in some bizarre way, I think it's disarming everybody else to what's going on with him. Although I wonder if he came out, did he like regale everyone with tales of Edelweiss, or would they not believe him? You know, like, I wonder how he played that in the house afterwards.
Well, why do you think it was an issue in the house? Do you think he actually has Edelweiss, or do you think he came out and was like,
yes, I think he wanted to credit himself for his genius work in the competition and was concerned that people wouldn't see his handiwork.
Eric, let me give you this question. This is from one of our listeners, Derek Yu. Is Brett making the HOH's mission nearly impossible to nominate and or evict him based on his eviction night speeches and the fallout that follows? Do you think that HOH's will think twice before nominating him? Do these speeches make him more or less likely to be nominated? I'll hang up and listen. That's from Derek Yu. Brett was very proud of himself after Thursday night's speech. He had this to say.
You're going to have to call me El Kakarot because I'm not going anywhere. Losers.
You know, I was wondering this. Are cockroaches known for not going anywhere? Is that a thing?
You can't kill cockroaches.
I guess. Yeah. They keep coming back. I guess. All right. I think that he has become one of the great orators in U.S. history, actually. I was curious of your take. As who's one of the you know, where does he rank in the great speeches of U.S. history? How would you go with Brett's? We'll take the sort of cumulative speeches that he's given versus the Gettysburg Address versus the I Have a Dream speech. Where do you think Brank is you know, resting nowadays?
I don't know how much they're going to stand the test of time. I feel like that Brett's speeches are remembered for their boldness, but I'm not sure if other than Scotty, you have arms like a honey glazed ham. I don't know if there's a particularly memorable line from any of his speeches.
That's true. I'm not sure that they'll be, you know, repeated for years to come.
I have a dream or Fourscore and 7 years ago.
Yes, I'm sweating through my shirt. Mighty clammy out there today, Eric. The guy seemed just completely disgusted as an aside. Really not happy to shake my hand after that. I actually stop into a Starbucks, and I was running late for the meeting, so I really did not have the time, but I needed the cool air for a few seconds and a pat down with some napkins. So, you know, Brett might be remembered for that, possibly.
Yeah. Well, he didn't wear a shirt, famously, to the Scotty HOH veto ceremony when he was hashtag shook. So maybe that speaks to not wearing a I think also at the some of the other live shows, he was wearing like no shirt and a vest, but maybe they make you wear a shirt on the block, Eric.
It's distinctly possible. I mean, it might inform us as to why he chose to not wear a shirt, possibly.
Yeah. I mean, and when I say on the block, I mean like on Thursday eviction night, you were forced to wear a shirt. So you're not just wearing the lavalier microphone around the house.
I think it's probably for the best. Yes. I remember distinctly production encouraging me to wear outfits to undermine the people that were going home certain weeks.
How so? Like,
well, for example, Dustin had borrowed one of my shirts, and in the great Dustin Blindside, he asked me if he could wear that shirt on eviction night. And the producers are like, well, you can't tell him no, because if you tell him no, he's going to know that something is up. So you can't tell him that. And I was like, yeah, but I don't want the man to be evicted in my shirt. He'll be stealing my shirt. Then they're like, you got to let the shirt go, Eric. Let Dustin wear the shirt, man. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Maybe Brett's been spoken to. Maybe they said we noticed some unfortunate pit sweat. And maybe you want to go shirtless, as often as possible. I'm not really sure where they're coming from.
All right, Eric, let's talk about something that's going on. We haven't done a lot of the house guests on social media this season, and now we have the first five, a new Faute, the five of us out there until the end. We have, of course, Summer of Steve 2018, Swaggy, Winston, Caitlin, and Rachel. Those are our pre-jurors for the season. And, you know, we haven't commented too much about what's going on, but some interesting fireworks have been going off outside of the Big Brother house. Mostly with, you know, our, you know, amazing heroine, Caitlin.
Oof. I'm ready. I'm ready. Let's hear it.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit about what's been going on, Eric. And let's start with a let me go to another one of these tweets that we pulled. So, okay. So Caitlin, in staying very much on brand, she is sending all the love in the world to Swaggy CTV, Winston, and Summer of Steve 2018, because, you know, that's what she does.
Summer of Steve 2018.
These men played a great game and are forever family. Heart emoji. And here comes somebody by the name of Janine Domingo, who says, I'm Steve's niece, and I can tell you, you would never be family. You do all this in the name of love and light as you're twisting the knife in backs, and sort of like a angry, disgruntled emoji. Mm. We all, especially his wife, would like you to keep his name out of your mouth and tweets. Steve doesn't need to be included in your constant need for attention.
Summer Steve 2018.
Well, this is unfortunate. And very particularly unfortunate is the fact that this is probably going to lead to a Summer of Steve exposed party on Twitter. This is really him, isn't it?
Oh, Steve's niece is Steve.
Yes. I believe Janine Domingo has been out for drinks with Joey Rodriguez.
Oh, Janine is being so mean to Caitlin, Eric.
I mean, not that self-awareness was really her crowning trait or anything like that. But to Janine's point here, you know, time heals all wounds. It's a little bit fresh to have these condescending, bullshit platitudes that she's sending out in the world. you know, keep like when the first five out on my season were at the finale and the America's Player twist was revealed, the five of them plainly hated me. They didn't even clap during the segment. They just looked disgusted. That's where these five should be at with each other right now. You know, it's too fresh, too much. Mm-hmm. You know, like spare us the garbage here, Caitlin. I'm actually going to sign firmly with Janine.
You are Team Janine.
Yes.
Okay.
AKS.
All right. So Caitlin in the feud is, in this feud. And Caitlin also sent another tweet like, look, she basically said, you know, reiterated, you know, I love Steve. He's the best. So she also then got heat from another one of these great men of the game in that she basically got subtweeted from Swaggy C, who was calling her out about how she is featured on a new site which allows reality stars and celebrities to send messages to their fans. Put a pin in that. We're going to come back to that later, Eric. But let me show you this, where Caitlin responded to Swaggy C subtweeting her, basically saying, how else am I going to make that $5,000 that I owe you, which she had promised him when things were looking good for her in the house, not so good for Swaggy C. She said, I will give you $5,000 when I get out to make up for what's being done. Swaggy C ends up saying to her, ma'am, stop talking to me. Stop DMing me on Instagram. I don't F with you. You can put on this front for social media like you're this good person. I was there. I know the real you. Don't take it personal. I just don't move how you move. It's fake. Namaste. Hashtag BB20.
Oof. It hurts to use that namaste against her. That's tough. It's hard to see family fighting like this. They will all eventually come back together on the reunion. Hopefully, Caitlin will be wearing a full ball gown with a picture of her own face on the back of it. That's inspired by Swaggy. I mean, not to be serious about this year for a second, but when I got off of the show, there was a lot of hard feelings, both people who felt betrayed by me and people who I felt were not great in the house as well. And the people that I still talk to all these years later, they were my enemies in the house. They were probably the five people that you would have never in a million years thought I'd still speak to. And I don't really speak to my alliance from my season frequently or really at all. And it's just something that they should advise these people as to. Like, in 6 months, you're going to feel like a complete idiot for these exchanges. So just back off of them. Stay in your own lane. Do not bring the other people into it. And I know they're all piggybacking off of each other for attention, but this is a bad look for all of them.
Yeah. Eric, I'd love to give some advice as sort of the elder statesman of reality TV, if we could, about how should these people, whether they are, you know, early boots on Survivor, early boots on Big Brother, how would you advise someone in this situation to handle themselves on social media?
I think you got to be in on the joke. You got to laugh at yourself and you got to have fun with it. You got to retweet the insults. You need to
retweet the insults.
Yes. You need to make a big game of what you're known for and what you're seeing people are responding to and this and that. But the bickering back and forth, and listen, this is a you live and you learn type of situation. This is like a parent telling their high schooler that their first love, it's probably not going to pan out, that type of thing. And you know what? Everyone needs to experience it to go through it. So I don't blame them. Everyone's going to go down this pipeline. Ultimately, it'll shake itself out. But it's just, you know, this is not the way to keep yourself in the spotlight. This is going to all result in them all going out for drinks with Elena sometime soon.
Yeah, Eric, I do agree for the most part that I feel like, and I think that Caitlin had this, and I'm worried that she's losing it, in that when you come out of the house, that I think that your general attitude needs to be like, oh my God, I'm so, I had no idea. What a fool I am. Boy, I was snowed. You guys you guys got me. You guys played me, and that's it. I think that the idea to come out, whether it's a Survivor or even Big Brother, I knew everything. I was running everything. You'll see. Nobody else was playing. I was, and I'm not just talking about Swaggy C in this case. You know, there's other people even on other shows that are you know, especially people that are doing this type of thing. I'm the only person that was playing. Nobody else. You know, here's a million excuses about what happened to me. Here's how I made such a big impact, even though I'm not there. I just think that it is never going to work out. Like, nobody's ever going to be convinced, like, oh, yeah, you know, this person on Twitter really convinced me that, you know, they were probably the best player the whole season.
So here's the thing. There are a ton of people who go out early on Big Brother and early on Survivor who could be great Big Brother or Survivor players in another world. I'm going to use as an example our good friend, Francesca Hoagie. I am telling you, Francesca could win multiple seasons of Survivor, and it didn't work out for her when she was on it. Now she leans into the fact that, you know, she has her own role in the history of the show. But the fact of the matter is, in the season that you are on, if you are one of the pre-jury boots, you did something wrong that time. It may have been circumstantial. It may have been bad luck. It may have been a numbers crunch in a different group of people. It may have played out differently. But the fact of the matter is, everyone sitting outside of the house right now, they did not play this game to the best of their capabilities or better than the people who are still sitting there. Mm-hmm. So the fact of the matter is, they should all be laughing at themselves. They should all be in it together. They should be aligning with each other to make this a fun experience and play off each other and banter and do appearances and this and that. But bickering at each other over who was better or worse and who did what to who when they're all out of the game, that's where right. It starts going a little south for them.
And you can't play offense with the haters on social media. There's no way that, you know, there's way more of them. They'll be tweet. You could tweet 100 times a day. They're going to come at you with 1,000 tweets. You know, you're never going to win. So,
well, what they don't know yet is that the very same people who are saying that they despise you online are the people who will approach you for a photo when they meet you. So,
sure.
You know, so like they are not yet at the point. They're still at the point. They're shucking and jiving and navigating this whole world. They will soon see that it's time to, you know, ignore the haters.
Yeah. And, you know, in the case, you know, of Swaggy C in particular, who I thought was, you know, a really great casting find. I thought it was a big personality on the show. Like, I think that, you know, at the risk of, like, you know, losing whatever goodwill was gained in the house. I mean, you can't fight with everybody on Twitter. And I hate
think the
to
problem
see-
is they dangle this carrot in front of you where, man, maybe I can play with my brother on Fear Factor. Maybe I'll go on the challenge. Maybe I can be on a returning season and this and that. And that's what keeps you in line. You know, you need to stay involved in the world and in the good graces of production. So that makes you not want to spill anything you saw in the house. And it makes you want to stay engaged and keep your name out there so you're relevant. Because the fact of the matter is, none of us are relevant. We mm-hmm. all very well know that. And but you hang on to it for as long as you can. So I do not fault them. Don't get me wrong. We've all been down this path before. But you almost do want, you know, Howie to put his arm around Swaggy C. We want to send in Paulie Calafiore, you know, to Summer Steve's house and just tell them, listen, guys, it gets better. You know, it's going to be okay.
Okay. Well, the very thing that Swaggy C was getting on Caitlin about, how she is on a site called bookcameo.com. Eric, are you familiar with this site?
I'm not. Is it an affiliate of houseguestsonly.com?
Sort of. So on bookcameo.com, you can pay to receive a video message from a number of famous people. And so, Eric, let's check out Caitlin's profile on bookcameo.com. I believe originally was listed at for $50. You could get a message from Caitlin, a steal at twice the price, I would add. That I don't know if it's because that Swaggy shamed her, but now the message from Caitlin is down to only $30, Eric.
Whoa. I wonder what this consists of. Is it personalized? Like, have you gotten one? Possibly.
I have not gotten one, even though the turnaround time is it says it's about an hour, which is like better than a pizza. I was thinking about
getting. You don't get a message within an hour, you get it for free.
Yeah, I was thinking about getting one for you for the show today, but I figured I had a different idea in store for you. But you can get a message and. Let me play an example. This is the type of message that you would get from.
Hey guys, it's Caitlin from season 20 of Big Brother, and I would love to send you a shout out on Cameo.
Okay. So there's, you know, they're basically, they have a selfie and they have the phone, and that's for $30. You can get a message from Caitlin. Now, Eric, Caitlin is not the only reality star on said website. There are actually a number of different reality stars that are out there, as much as a ton of figures from the world of sports, entertainment.
Who the hell is Tom Fulton?
Yeah, Tom Felton.
The great Tom Felton's on there?
The great Tom Felton. If you wanted a message from Tom Felton, it is just $175 to get a message from Tom Felton.
All right. Well, I know I'm getting you for your birthday now.
Okay. So, Eric, we have a great game to play today where I will bring you some people that are on the website Book Cameo, and it will be your job to tell me whose message will cost more money. Okay.
Whoa. Okay. I'm into this. I'm curious how they got onto this site in the first place as well.
That's a great question.
I'd love to get into the headspace of the buyer of these messages and what it is that they're exactly going to do with them once they receive them.
Okay. All right. Eric, let's start. Bookcameo.com, which, you know, Swaggy C doesn't like this idea. Caitlin thinks it's a good idea. We'll let you guys be the judge. All right. Here is our first round from the bookcameo.com game, Eric. Here we go. You could get a message from some of Big Brother 18 and MTV Reality's hottest stars, Pauly Calafiore or Natalie Mercedes Negrotti, former New York Jets cheerleader. Which call will cost you more money?
This would cost me my soul if I bought either of these. Cost me my pride, my dignity, everything. I'm going to, well, I do know that Natalie is a very enterprising young woman, and she's always looking for a good opportunity to get her name out there. But I will say, here's my guess. Pauly costs more. Natalie has had more purchase because James has bought several.
Final answer.
I'm going Pauly for the big bucks.
Sorry, Natalie, a voice call or a video call from again, you're not, it's not a two-way call. It's a one-way call. A video message from Natalie Negrotti will set you back $65. But a message from Pauly Calafiore will only cost you $35, and you'll get a message like this one.
Jason, my man, what is good? You really are one of the most loyal supporters. You've been here since day one, bro. And don't think I don't notice. I remember all my ride or dies from the beginning. I see who flip-flops. I see who comes back when the times are good. I see who leaves when the times are bad. And you are a real one. So stay being awesome, my dude. At Unlimited Jason, the boss.
The boss.
Is that his normal speaking voice?
Jason, my man, what is good? You really are one of the most loyal supporters. You've been
one of these days we'll go out for meats together.
What's up, Nathan? I believe how I pronounce your last name is Starzak.
You've been with me since I back in my PP in the hot tub days and the PP analess that I was in.
Okay. One round.
I was giving him points for X on the beach. and also for the fact that he's very self-important.
No.
And also, I thought maybe, just maybe, if he happened to be with his brother Cody.
No. Cody is not on here. Cody's not on here, so sorry about that. Okay. All right, Eric, maybe you could rebound here in round number two, okay? Here we have Janelle, Janie, three-time Big Brother player, or the Messiah, Jose Flores. Which one would cost you more to get a message from, Janelle or Jose?
This is tricky because it's present day value versus, you know, one of the greats here. So, I mean, you know, it's kind of like the equivalent. Yes, it's the equivalent of weighing a modern day, you know, survivor, you know, a recent winner against a Richard Hatch here. So who are people going to want to hear from more? Also, it is debatable.
Which is Jose, the recent winner or Richard Hatch?
He's the recent winner in this example. He's winning at life.
Yeah.
And I mean, he was one of the pros on Stars versus Pros, you know, or whatever it was. It's an iconic celebrity that he is. It's also debatable as to whether or not they set their own prices.
Yeah, that's the good question. I do believe it is set by the artist and not by the market.
Gotta be Jose.
A call with Janelle will cost you $25, and a message from Jose will cost you $35. You are right.
I'm back in the game.
Knock, knock. Who's there? Me. It's your boy, Jose. Some of you might know me from your favorite reality TV shows, such as Big Brother, Chance vs. Stars, or the...
You can tell, I think, when people have actually made one before, because they have, like, a generic message of, like, a sample of what you would get, as opposed to, like, they show, like, actual messages to the fans. It doesn't seem like that Jose has sold one yet.
There's still time. There's still time. Yet.
Okay.
Maybe
not at that price point. Okay. Eric, okay. I think you're on to this game now. So now let's get a little trickier. Okay. What would cost you more? A call from Big Brother 19's Elena Davies or viral video phenomenon Tay Zonde, the of Chocolate Rain fame? What would cost you more, a call from Elena or Tay Zonde?
I'm sticking with my theory from the last time. If these are self-priced, Elena's going off at easily a good $95.
More than Tay Zonde.
Yep, she's my pick.
You are correct. Not quite that much. It'll cost you $35 to get a message from Elena, only $30 to get a message from Tay Zonde.
That is a great deal.
And that is a great deal, because listen to these messages that you get from Tay Zonde.
Hey, Teen Actor, sorry to hear that there's been some bumps in your romantic life and people you care about. I can really only speak to myself and my own experience, my own stories. And sometimes, you know, in my life when there's misunderstanding, you know, all I can kind of do is wake up every day, try to be the best person I know how to be that day, and be honest and transparent, and just try to be better each time the sun rises. And, you know, with any luck, the sun comes out tomorrow. I hope that you feel better. I hope that your days in the future are filled with chocolate rain. Some stay dry and others feel the pain. Only that you stay dry, Tea Nectar, that you don't feel as much pain, and that you continue to win in 2018.
Here's another one.
Holy moly, David, or should I call you Davers, Davos, or the Daverinator, like the action superhero that you are? What I heard that you're being very heroic on your birthday. May I sing to you, David?
This man is, he's all right. He's been purchased a few times. I think we have our first cast member on Celebrity Big Brother 2.
Sorry, Elena, that you can't do that.
Yeah, notice that Elena doesn't have any in the can, right?
She had one. She has one. And I have to say that, in fairness to Elena, I thought she was very, very personable on her message. Okay, Eric, let's make it a little trickier, okay? You think you know what's going on? All right, how about this, Eric? All right, we have the host of Off the Block, runner-up on Celebrity Big Brother, Ross Matthews, or two phone calls with Frankie James Grande.
Wait, hold on. It's two for the price of one?
No. It is the value of one call. So you are paying to get two different messages from Frankie Grande or one message from Ross Matthews. So Ross Matthews or the man who filled in for him on Off the Block this week, Frankie James Grande.
Hi, mommy.
Yeah. Hi, mommy.
I want you to shine bright like a Frankie. This is great. Actually, I might order a few of these.
I want to shine bright like a Frankie.
Twice.
It is two Frankies are worth more than one Ross.
Two Frankies more than one Ross. And sorry. One Ross Matthews call is $125.
Whoa!
One Frankie James Grande call is actually a steal at only $40, Eric.
Wow.
I would have thought it would have been priced at like $500, But I watched a lot of Frankie Grande video calls this morning, and it's a little scary that they're all very similar. Here's some of what you could expect to receive when it is Frankie Grande on your phone.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Jen. Happy birthday to you. What's
up? He's going to sing you that song.
Disgusting. Disgusting. I can't believe on my daughter's birthday.
Here's another
happy
one.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy it's birthday, dear Allison. Happy birthday to you.
In one of the great trolls of all time, after my season of the show, my mother bought me Zach's Dolphin Crash clothing apparel for Hanukkah that year. She wrapped it up all fancy. Oh, great. I'm back home. I'm going to get some holiday gifts. And it was all Dolphin Crash paraphernalia. I was not thrilled about this. And I'm thinking this could turn into the greatest troll yet. I'm going to start giving these to everyone I know. And I'm going to send them anonymously. They just show up on their phones. I'm going to give out the phone number and their personal information. And next thing they know, they're going to have Frankie singing for them on their phone.
I'm not sure how they get delivered. There is a Cameo app, but I'm not sure necessarily if I need to have – if it's your birthday and I want to send you Frankie Grande.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Twizzly Gold. Happy birthday to you.
That's some nice flourishment on that one. Oh man.
Yeah, can Ross do that?
I don't think so. It's very hard to recreate the exact same message so many times. Pitch perfect.
Happy birthday to you.
Oh, a slowdown.
He has another guy with him.
You. Take the melody. Happy birthday. He has a company dear man. Zoe.
I'm not sure if Zoe had to pay more to get.
Yeah, for the harmony. Wow. Harmony.
Okay. All right, Eric. All right. So you hit a bump in the road on the Frankie Grande.
I think I'm 2-2 right now. This two is and two. Moment of truth.
Two
coming
and two,
up.
Two left. Okay. All right, Eric. Let's see if you can redeem yourself. Let's talk a little Survivor. Stephen Fishback. You could get a video message from him or you could get a video message from one of Survivor's favorite millennials, Figgy.
Is this for real?
Yes. And in this, and that in this question for you, in question number five, you are debating one call, one video message from Stephen Fishback or two messages from Figgy. Which one would set you back more, Eric? One message from Stephen Fishback or two messages from Figgy?
I'm rolling with recency bias on this, and I'm going to say two Figgies beats a fishy.
Two Figgies beats a fishy, and you are Correct, Eric. I tried to fake you out. Stephen Fishback is actually the cheapest message that I could find on the entire site at only $10. So, again, this does speak to the people setting their own value and maybe Stephen Fishback having low self-esteem because he has set his market value at the lowest. There were Howard Stern Whack Packers that were going for $50, $100, $10 for a message from Stephen Fishback. I will say he does seem to be somewhat half-hearted about the new venture. Here is a sample message from Stephen Fishback.
I signed up for this because somebody told me to, and I will basically do anything anybody asks. So just testing it out, I guess.
Hey, at least he's honest.
But when he says that I'll do anything anyone asks, is he talking about send in odd requests for your video or that someone asked him to join the site and he must comply?
Yeah, I don't think with the fan base, I don't think I'd be putting that out into the universe that I'll do anything.
I signed up for this because somebody told me to, and I will basically do anything anybody asks.
It says the makings of ending in either pit stains or anal lice, and I don't like it. This is a real dangerous terrain for him. I was actually thinking that, I have seen, maybe it's not this site, but I've seen people, kind of putting out there their personalized message. And I really always wondered myself, is anyone actually buying these things? But I was thinking if I set it the price of $1 from me, maybe I could get lunch tomorrow.
I do that for a dollar. Sure.
Yeah, exactly. That could be my message. Yeah. Thank you. You wrote it for me.
Thank you. All right, Eric.
You would think I could have come up with that myself. Nope.
All right.
That would be great. What if I become the steal of the site with I do that for a dollar? Like, yeah, why pay for Caitlin Herman when you can get 35 messages from me?
That, in fairness, Eric, so I did do some, scrolling around the site, and you can find, in addition to people, they have all these different categories here, but towards the bottom, there's a category from animals. And I clicked on this. I said, why would I get a message from an animal? And okay, here's Chester the Aussie, some dog. You can get a message from this dog for $1.
What does that consist of exactly?
I don't know. Here's the dog. I guess
We love you.
Well, this is actually brings up a very interesting point that you may have here because I don't think I could even sell one for $1. But maybe, just maybe,
baby Dino the dog.
Dino, how much should we charge, buddy? How much should we charge for your cameo calls? What do you want to send them? Here he is, live and in color. All right, he'll give the first one for free, okay? Here we go.
Get your screen grabs out.
Oh, wait, I shouldn't be giving this away. Yes. You got to charge for this. Everyone delete that. Delete that off the phone.
Okay.
You need to get these personalized.
All right, Eric, I've got one more for you, okay? Final round.
The dog's disgusted now. He's looking at me like, what was that about? I was sleeping. Just leave me alone.
All right, final round. Okay, this is another Survivor-themed one, okay? All right, here we have Survivor Sweethearts. Joe Anglum and Sierra Dawn Thomas, not together. That is a separate call with Joe Anglum and a separate call with Sierra Dawn Thomas, or a message from WWE Hall of Famer, I believe, Jake
Most
the
certainly.
Snake Roberts. I'm not sure if Damian will be on the call. Which would set you back more? A call to Joe Anglum, a message from Joe Anglum, message from Sierra Dawn Thomas, or one message from Jake the Snake Roberts.
Well, first of all, I don't know if I'm having a stroke, but when I saw the picture of Joe Anglum, I thought it was Ernie from Sesame Street at first. It's just not concerning. He does not look a lot like him in retrospect. Boy, Joe, very popular, handsome fellow. So if they are a video call, and you put that into your personal files, God knows what you could do with it if you can save that afterwards. So that could be appealing here. Jake the Snake has battled his personal demons and came through the other side through his DDP yoga. So, he might be able to lend some supportive words like Paulie did for people who were going through it.
Jake the Snake did Diamond Dallas Page yoga.
Diamond Dallas Page literally saved his life.
Oh, wow.
Like a riddled drug
DDT
addict.
Yoga. Yeah.
Yes, yes, indeed. Boy, I growing up as a pro wrestling fan and writing for WWE, I'd like to think that Jake the Snake could get more for this. There are some very, you know, like wrestling is real fans out there. It's real to me. So I would like to think he could get more, but I think it's got to be Joe and Sierra who are going for more here.
So, Eric, a call from Joe Anglum will set you back $100.
Oh my.
A message from Sierra Dawn Thomas will cost you a measly $35.
Okay, it's a steal.
A message from Jake.
Fear Factor's own.
Yes, Fear Factor's own. Who else had to deal with snakes on Fear Factor? And a message from Jake the Snake Roberts will cost you $100. Eric, you are a winner.
Yes. Let me ask you something. Is the Birdman Coco Beware on there?
He is not. Brett the Hitman Hart is.
Wow.
That'll cost you $125 for a message from the Excellence of Execution.
I'm not sure if this site still exists, but were you familiar with Thuzio at the time?
No.
It was a sport, like an athlete site, similar thing.
There's athletes on here too.
Right. So like they would come over like to your fantasy draft and like hang out with you. And there were some real steals on there. And I one time almost bought the great Kobayashi competitive eater extraordinaire to come by my house and just eat hot dogs with me.
So, Eric, let me just add here that Jake the Snake, you may think you're getting a steal for $100, but once he gets a hold of you, he is going to roast you.
Whoa.
K-Man, 38 years old, or 8 years young. Doesn't really matter because you're the oldest non-virgin fan of the WWE Network. Still subscribes to it.
He said,
you're 38. You're the oldest non-virgin person watching WWE Network. And here's another one for this guy, Sean.
Happy birthday, Sean. 36, huh? I'm quite surprised. I mean, I get being a lifelong WWE fan, but you live to be 36 and like CM Punk. Look, he's not ever coming back, and who wants him back? Or maybe he's going to have another fight. Oh, yeah.
So basically, if you're old enough to remember who Jake the Snake Roberts is, then he says, can't believe you still want this, you loser.
Yeah, this is what it sounds like my calls would be like, shaming the person for, oh, God, you need to do something better with your money, my friend. This is rough.
All right.
Oh, man.
So, Eric, as the winner of this week's competition, I feel like the least I can do is order you a call, a video message to play on the podcast next week of your choosing. Who did you want the message from? I will have to say that I will put a $50 limit on the.
I feel very strongly that we should try and find a Big Brother contestant who has no idea who I am.
Yeah,
I feel like that would be.
So we're thinking along the same lines. So my idea was I wanted to have Pauly Calafiore wish you a happy bar mitzvah.
Perfect. My main man, I know you've been my ride or die.
So I am calling to wish you a mazel tov today.
Some of us down week one, I know I made a guest appearance. And I'd like to invite you out to my premiere party.
Okay, because you are a man today, Eric.
I feel like this is what my life has come to, that I can't contact the contestants. I actually have to pay to speak with them.
Pay for them. Either that, I was going to pay for a Caitlin call for you.
Yes, I feel like I'm more apt to actually encounter Caitlin in my day-to-day life, you know? So I feel like if we're going to spend the big bucks here, I think we should go full Pauly.
Okay. You think we're going to get complaints that we spent too much time on the bookcameo.com game?
Oof, I hope not.
So, look, if people want to pay for a call from Caitlin, go for it.
I think we probably boiled down, though, what Swaggy was actually upset about, and that's that he hasn't gotten an offer to appear
on
the site.
Yeah, he said, I'm going to talk to
Mike. I feel like his could be amazing, so I agree. There's still hope, Swaggy. Get out there.
Yeah. Okay.
Hit the people.
Reach out to Stephen Fishback. He knows somebody that can get you on there, Swaggy.
That is a question. I know, and I know you could probably get this for even maybe 50% off. Is it possible that we should get 10 Stephen Fishback messages instead? Oh, wait. Oh, five. Only five. I want to go over budget.
All right, let's think about this. Let's workshop that. All right, Eric. Let's take a moment and thank the sponsor for this episode of the podcast, our friends over at Audible. I love Audible, Eric. Audiobooks are so great. I feel like, you know, like I love podcasts, but then sometimes I want something with a little more substance, and that's where audiobooks come in. Do you ever, in all of your outdoor activity, Eric, listen to audiobooks?
Yeah, these are actually perfect for me because I don't have the attention span to read myself, but I love listening and hearing in the story. So it's actually perfect to have someone basically provide it for me. I love it.
Audible is great that you get credits per month where you can download audiobooks. If you don't like your audiobook, you can exchange it. No questions asked. Try that on a podcast. I don't think so. It's only at Audible. Your books are yours to keep. With Audible, you can go back and re-listen anytime. They've got a great offer. A 30-day trial with your first audiobook is free. Just go to audible.com/robpodcast. That's audible.com/robpodcast, or text the word Rob Podcast, R-O-B podcast, to 500-500. And they've got so many great books on Audible. Check out this book, Eric. It's called The Undercover Edge by Derek Levasseur. Find your hidden strengths, learn to adapt, and build confidence to win life's game. Did you know that that was an audiobook now?
Oh, this is fantastic. I know what my first download's going to be. This is great. I'm living my best life out there. This is fantastic. And thank goodness that people can exchange the podcast, because otherwise we'd get a lot of returns on this one.
Yes, on our podcast, certainly. Yes. 6 hours of Derek Levasseur's thoughts on The Undercover Edge. You know, Winston read that book? Yeah, no, he's not the narrator. He's not a man named Alexander Sedensi. He is the narrator. But do you know Winston read this book before he went into the Big Brother house?
I believe it. This is great. I hope that for my second month, I can get Hi Mommy, the Frankie Grande story.
Yeah, not yet written yet or recorded. So go ahead and get your first audiobook for free on Audible. I have been a customer well before they were ever a sponsor on the podcast. Go ahead and go to audible.com/robpodcast or text the word robpodcast to 500-500 and get your first audio book for free. Erica, let's get to some of the voicemails from this week. This is something that you actually brought my attention to on last week's show, or maybe it was the week before. This is a question for us from Claire.
Hey, Rob and Eric, this is Claire. I was wondering if we could get you to analyze the performance of the house guests during the hacker competition. It seems like a lot of power to be decided by a word scramble competition. And we have house guests like Bailey, who's supposedly 1 point away from being a genius, and Brett, whose profession is being a hacker, failing under the pressure, which left Haley to get the win. Is it possible that all the extravagant adjectives that Haley uses to refer to Julie during the live voting actually gave her the edge when it came to unscrambling words? What do you think?
Okay. Eric, I did go back. I watched every single one of Haley's voting confessionals for this season. She does have a different word to compliment Julie Chen every single week of the season. Is it possible that her knowledge of words helped her so much in the hacker competition?
She is quite a wordsmith. I mean, when I think Queen, all hail Queen Haley, all hail the Queen. I think wordsmith. That's what immediately comes to me. And I've noticed also, she has a very unique delivery of these expressions where she doesn't actually look at Julie or not even into the camera. She does this like bizarre thing where she like looks down and then like sweeps herself up into the compliment. It's very interesting. So I would say yes. I would say she is probably extraordinarily verbose, and she was always, this was probably designed for her to win once they knew of her vast vocabulary.
Yes. I'd also like to just go back. Does Claire say analyze here?
Hey, Rob and Eric, this is Claire. I was wondering if we could get you to analyze the performance of the house guest.
She did, right?
Yes, I feel like this is basically what this podcast is about. It's analyzing the game.
Yeah. All future voicemails need to swap out the word analyze for analyze.
And realistically, they will. You don't need to ask for that.
Yeah. Okay. This is a another question for us. How about this one? This is from Michael and Callie, who's upset with us, Eric. Has a complaint about last week's show.
Rob, Michael from Northern California. You spoiled Big Brother. You usually don't do that. You usually play the spoiler tune, but you started going on the Eric Stein podcast about Bailey and HOH, and I haven't had a chance to watch Sunday's episode yet. Everything else is great. Just had to give you a bad time because you spoiled it. So, talk to you soon. Bye.
All right. Michael, just want to, I think I can speak for Eric here in this instance. Want to apologize to you about spoiling Sunday night's Big Brother episode on last Monday's episode of Summer of Stein, week 5. We apologize about that and really upset that we potentially ruined the big reveal that was waiting for you when you watch the episode later on in the week.
Yeah, I feel great remorse for that. And I should apologize because I believe I also spoiled the outcome of Kid Nation last week as well. And, you know, I feel really bad. I'm remiss to say this, but in The Sixth Sense, he sees dead people.
Yeah. So, sorry about that. Eric,
what the Summer's Time's about. You know, it's supposed to be a feel-good
spoiler-free show, right?
Yeah, yeah. Everybody's out there and they're really analyzing. They're in their feels analyzing. About what they're seeing on the analyzing. Damn it. And this is the show for the people. We're supposed to be having fun with this, and I should not be spoiling easily a 72-hour-old episode of the show. So I apologize for that. Yeah.
Did you spoil anything from last night's episode yet?
I don't think so. Last week I did spoil my nectarine by dipping it in the barbecue sauce. But
Zach Brooks said it sounded good.
It had a nice sweet kick to it, a little tang. It was pretty decent.
Yeah, not bad. Okay. How about, let's see. We got a couple other voicemails to play for you. How about this one? We have a voicemail for you from Kyle, who wants to ask about the hacker competition.
Hey, Rob, how's the podcast? Hey, Eric Stein.
Sounds familiar.
Hey, it's Kyle calling, and I'm here to ask, considering the accent of the BB hacker, does CBS know something about the Russian influence in our election system? Very thick Russian accent. Are they hinting at some recent developments in the news, or what? So thank you so much for having me, and have a good week.
Okay. Eric, of course, this was the voice of the hacker comp.
Comrades, the next big twist of the summer is about to be unleashed.
It reminds me of the fake accent that the main character on Glow uses as well.
Yes,
it's a very Zoya the Destroyer coming out there. Yes, it's funny because I heard you guys speculating last night that this might be the first piece of modern information that's in the house this year. But I actually think that they're going back to like war games. Like they think the Cold War is still on.
Old is new. Yeah, exactly. Is it possible that Omarosa, when she was in the house, that she might have given some information to Big Brother producers?
It's distinctly possible. I hear that her book is on the horizon as well.
Yes.
So that's a distinct possibility. Or
following
it's possible
Derek's footsteps
that it's voiced by the late great Nikolai Volkov, who left us last week. And I guess that's probably going to decrease his cameo messages. It's a 50% off sale now.
Yeah. Eric, I've got some email questions for you as well. Jen Garcia wants to ask you, how obvious was it when Frankie Grande just crammed a few episodes of Off the Block or of Big Brother 20 in right before he joined Marissa on Off the Block this week? He clearly had no idea what was going on in the Big Brother 20 house. Did you watch Off the Block this week?
Sadly, I missed it, but if I had known that Frankie was there, I think I would have gone headfirst into it. I'm going to have to go back and catch this one.
Did they pay his day rate of $40?
I think it's even more. I don't know. It could be
to shine bright like a Frankie?
Yeah, I'm not surprised to hear that he is not keeping up to date on the latest goings on. It's basically an all-day job to shine bright like a Frankie, so who would blame him, honestly?
Mm-hmm. Let me see if I have any other emails here for you, Eric. Sorry, that could have been more organized today, but I was not, so excited about the anal lice.
Yes, rightfully so. Can I ask you a question? Why is it that my Carmen Sandiego gif was not part of the competition the other night?
I don't know. I mean, they didn't really have gifs that happened outside of Big Brother 20.
Feel like it was a missed opportunity for possible. They would have really perplexed the current house guests if they're like, what is happening in this one here?
Who is this kid that we're seeing? Like, if they had like you in Big Brother 8, then they still might have been confused.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure most of them, except for Sam, who is the great 50-year-old Dame Sam. Most of them are not familiar with Carmen Sandiego, I am sure.
Probably not. Okay. Eric, anything else from the world of Big Brother that you want to talk about on today's show?
I'm curious as to what's wrong with Bailey.
Angela.
Forget what's wrong with Angela. What's wrong with Bailey? I think she might be the worst player in the house this season. I really think so. I mean, her mismanagement of her HOH and conceivably not using her power this week, and the fact that she doesn't trust her allies but loosely spills information to her enemies. This is someone who has just really messed up her game. And the way she's speaking to people is just great. I think she's I barely remember people being this belligerent as she has been in the house. I just love the verbal lashings that she's giving the people left and right now. And I'm wondering, like, what do you think is possessing her to do this? What do you think she's getting? She's just so confident in her standing in the house. She thinks she can just go around and just browbeat people left and right around the house. It's just an amazing fall from grace. I mean, 1 week ago, everyone is lording and louding and screaming on behalf of Queen Bailey, and she's the greatest or whatever. I know we spoiled that last week, and now here she is just unraveling before us. Yeah. What is going on here?
Well, let me float this theory past you, Eric. I mean, she ended up getting the Power app after Swaggy left, but, you know, she didn't seem to have it go to her head, you know, early on. It wasn't really until it was having the Power app combined with being the HOH was sort of like the lethal combination. But do you think that part of the arrogance that she showed during her HOH week was because she got the Power app and was trending and felt like, okay, America loves me? Because I'm not sure necessarily where Queen Bey came from. I could totally understand if it was a thought on Twitter, but I don't know how that got into the house other than does Bailey call herself Queen Bey in the third person in real life? Like, how did she become Queen Bey in the house?
That is a very good question. I feel like probably the DR started baiting her into it because you kind of tell, like, there was that leading question, and then her answer, which they would then use on the show, would be like, of course, Queen Bey is here to stay. And you could just imagine the voice behind the camera. So is Queen Bey here to stay, Bailey? Yeah, she's like leaning into it, but she like took it hook, line, and sinker. But yes, it's never a good narrative to anoint yourself the royalty of the house. And I know that in days we're getting probably right around the halfway point, getting nearing there, but five people are gone and 11 are still there. you're not the queen of anything yet. You know, this is no time for this. If it wasn't jury yet, I'd be actually actively wondering if she's trying to get evicted so that way she could go and hang with Swaggy for the rest of her summer or something along those lines. But this is an epic collapse. The likes we have not seen in quite some time. And it's really it's very fascinating. I'm loving just such a fun, aggressive cast with JC and her and, you know, even Haley, you know, making big moves last night. I think it's fun to see people there to play, especially when their version of playing is just so poor. Mm-hmm. You know, you throw Angela into them. Everyone, they are there to do whatever it is they think is to be done in the game, which I think is just leading to so much fun and so much bad play. It's amazing.
Yeah. I do think that this house has sort of come in and been like indoctrinated with the, we have to be good TV. We have to be exciting. We don't want to be boring like last season. And then, you know, because they have made a lot of sloppy mistakes, which we love.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that this must have been a casting mandate mm-hmm. here, that they were like, get us people who are who they are and are going to be that way yeah. through and through. And Swaggy was that way. And Caitlin was that way. And they all own who they are. And it's so much fun, you know. So I'm really enjoying that. And, you know, this is I know that we normally stick to the fun and games and the silly business here. But I have been thinking a little bit about the strategy of this season. And we have seen, you know, that nerd archetype slip through so many times because people underestimate them. And what we've never seen before, though, is the surfer slip through or JC's archetype slipping through. And I think it's very interesting to see different types of people being underestimated for whether it be their sort of personality, their physical demeanor, the style of laid backness. And I'm finding that to be really interesting this season because what people don't understand is someone like the great Murphy Brown that we discussed last week, she actually was an effective player, and it's because of the package it comes in. No one thinks a vicious liar is a sweet Southern Belle, just like everyone thinks the surfer is not intent, and nobody in their mind is thinking that they can't beat JC when it comes down mm-hmm. to it. And it's the same thing that sort of got a Steve and an Ian to the end. But now it's flipped over on the Steve and Ian type, where now Scotty is immediately untrustworthy and Cameron goes home first and so on and so forth. But we're seeing other types disarming people and sort of slip through the cracks. And I think that Tyler's game is so effective simply because who he is. And it wouldn't be effective coming from somebody else, but it is effective coming from him because you can trust him. And he's, of course, not scheming. And he's so laid back and he's everybody's buddy and everybody's friend. And it just goes such a long way. And it's really interesting to see where the strategy meets who you are and who you bring into the house. And one of the things I'm loving this season is that everyone is who they is, who they is, are who they are. I don't know. I need Haley to tell me the proper grammar here. But you know, everyone just kind of brings themselves into it, and they're all approaching it in their own unique way. Fessy is Fessy, and Tyler is Tyler, and Angela is Angela. And I love that because it's starting to feel a little bit more like that old school social experiment where you have different types of people and they don't react to each other in the way you would automatically think. So you're actually seeing like live wire moments on the show. And I think that's part of what's just been so fun this season is just getting to see people be their true selves and then trying to see 15 other people deal with it, which is fun. I don't think we've seen that in a really long time on this show.
Yeah, and just to go back to the Tyler and Bailey dichotomy is that, you know, Tyler has been such a strong player, but he's done everything in his power to make himself appear weak. And it was just such a miscalculation on Bailey when she was, you know, becoming powerful in the game. Then she sort of stood up. She won an HOH and, you know, declared to the house, I am powerful. You know, bow before me because I'm calling, you know, I'm the one calling the shots. It's like, it's day 40.
I mean, it's also why I actually always often do believe the revisionist history that we hear in post interviews from house guests, because I was actively throwing competitions. I did want to appear weak. I wanted everyone to think I was there as the token funny man or the random Jewish guy or whatever reason I was there for. I didn't want anyone to think I was there to be the strategist of the season. Everyone has some sort of role that they're filling. And I think Tyler is doing a great job of telling everyone I'm here as the surfer guy. You've seen me on this show before. Don't worry about me. I'm good. And I agree. And the problem when you, with what Bailey did, like you're saying, is the worst thing you can do is say, look at me, look at me. But that's what a reality star's gut instinct is to do, is they want attention. They want everyone to say, I'm great at competitions. I'm controlling the house. I own the season. But it's not effective, which is why Brett is also a fascinating character, because we've never seen the outward physical threat and perceived leader of a side turn into the Spencer Clawson or AJ Berman pawn of the season. And I think it's quite realistic that Brett could end up sending a good portion of his alliance home on the block next to them when all is said and done, because I think the in-house perception is at this point that Brett can't win. So why not just let Brett be Brett? He's the perfect person. He can sit next to everybody and send them home at this point. And normally you see, you know, a less impactful or forward sort of player in that position. So I think it's really interesting seeing the dynamic shake out. I'm a little wary that we might be crawling towards a little less dynamic gameplay moving forward. I'm concerned it'll be a little bit more one-sided, but not for nothing. For everyone who's getting on Faute, still, level six may be dominating the game, but they sent home Winston and Rachel and Caitlin, who are all three people who were either firmly aligned with them or working with them. So for as great as they're doing in the game, they're not doing that great at getting rid of the Faute people. Yeah. So, you know, you never know how this is going to actually play out in the end. It's not as dominant as people think. People are saying that they're the worst alliance of all time. Yes, they're clueless and they're moronic. That's but I mean, the regulators went home 1, 2, 3, and 4 in the game. That's the worst alliance.
Yeah. I was talking about this last night because they've had longevity because they've been able to, you know, protect a lot of their people where, I mean, it's really just been, you know, Swaggy C from that side of the house that's gone out here. And they've been able to, you know, and Caitlin was a turncoat and then they, you know, they got rid of her. So they've been winning the HOH and they've been consistent about, like, they're not getting fancy with, we're not going to put up somebody from our side as a pawn. We're going to put up two people from their side. It just so happens that their desired person from the other side always ends up staying.
Right, and but that's not that big of a deal in the scheme of things. If they could continue the win, I think where it starts to get worrisome is, like, you could envision a Fessy HOH where he's now putting up the wrong targets. If they put up Brett and Tyler, or just, you know, Casey and Angela, or whatever the case may be, you could see this continuing to be effective for them, and they might not be getting out their ultimate target, but you're getting out the next best thing, and that could work well for them. It's if they just completely lose the script. But so far, as theoretically inept as they've been, I mean, they're right in the mix of the game. So, you know, I think there's still plenty to happen. And I think Haley's an interesting example this week as well, where that would be the benefit of live DRs. Maybe a player like Haley has been doing exactly, I know you guys discussed this with Angela last night, maybe that's what Haley's been doing. She made herself useful. She made herself well-liked. And now, as we're getting a little bit further along in the game, she's ready to actually do something. She was just biding her time. What reason would she have to do something prior to now? But on the CBS show, we're never going to see the live DRs because it would push back against the story that we're being presented for the show. So you're never going to see it. It'd be too contradictory. But I would love to hear a little bit more insight from a Haley, from a JC, from a Casey as to what exactly their intentions are. Because I think things are being done with a little bit more intent and calculation than in recent seasons, where Raven would have told you this was all her plan or whatever. I think some of these, like, sleeper players are actually there to make some moves in the end. So, well, you know, I'm interested in what's happening.
Let me ask you one last question that's, you know, very broad strokes in terms of game philosophy. Is it better to get rid of a person that you know is against you, or is it better to get rid of a person who might be against you? Because Faute has consistently targeted the players that they know are on the other side of the house, but their real vulnerability is been not targeting the people who they're not sure if they're with the other side of the house. And those have been the people that have been consistently undermining them, like a Tyler, like a JC, like Scotty now. So is that been their mistake, where if, you know, Rachel and Winston were still in the house, it's like, okay, but we know where they are.
Yeah, perception is reality. So unfortunately for them, their perception is wrong. So I think they're doing the right thing because they have to chip away at what they know are numbers. So they basically broke up two pairs, which is classic Big Brother. But also classic Big Brother is once your pair member is out of the house, then you fall way back to the end of the line. And it is kind of interesting. I mean, not for nothing, and this is not being self-congratulatory, I'm just using this as a point of comparison. There was not one singular vote from one singular house guest in any week of my season of Big Brother that I did not know how they were casting the vote ahead of time and know exactly how the vote went afterwards. There was never a moment that I was unclear about a singular person's vote. And it really makes me wonder how you can be living with these people and be so dense as to not be able to compare. And I think that's the source of frustration with the fan base, and rightfully so. And the mistrust of each other, as has been well documented, is ludicrous. Can't you, you know, you should
be a factor.
Yes, exactly. You should be just able to read the room better. So yes, of course, picking off the wild cards would actually be better for them, but they don't see them as wild cards. So how would they possibly have that as a strategy? They're just really in the dark about what's going on. And it's hard to imagine they can have conversations day after day. And it never once occurred to the four of them or five of them, hey, you know what? We've been on the wrong side of the vote every single time. All four of us are telling each other that we voted properly every single time. So who else could it possibly be? I mean, and you know, Tyler and JC, they're not even studying with them. They're not in group meetings with them. You know, just look around, see who people are talking to. It really is baffling. So I think from where they're at and the information they have, they're doing the right thing. It's just their read on the information is horrible.
Okay. All right, Eric. Great final thoughts to close this all out. So then at least hopefully the complainers listened to the last 15 minutes before they sent off the tweet complaining that we didn't talk enough about the strategy.
That's right. That's right. I'm a little hurt, I must say.
Why?
That we didn't receive a voicemail from Victoria this week.
Oh, we did. We did. I just
had it's just not her best material.
Yeah.
Well, I was thinking that maybe we should have her on as a guest and interviewer get into her psyche.
No, we could have her call in. That'd be good.
Yeah, there are very, very few people who are dedicated listeners of the Summer of Stein.
I mean, I can give you the short version of her call, which was basically, hey, Robin, Eric. Hey, Eric, how do you think that Big Brother 20 is similar to Big Brother 8? Don't you think there's a lot of similarities between this season and your season? And I didn't really feel like...
Nah. I've already told too many. I rode my dinosaur to the Big Brother house stories podcast. We'll save that to analyze it another time.
Okay. All right. So much going on. Of course, LFC Roundtable is going to be back again on Tuesday night. Be on the lookout for that. We'll be back Wednesday and Thursday night after these evictions. We record this on Monday afternoon. I expect the house is in a full panic and explosion after this week's veto ceremony. So, of course, be on the lookout for Taryn's live feed update on Tuesday morning as well for all of the updates on that. Of course, you could follow Eric Stein on Twitter.
Please don't.
Eric Stein tweets.
Nah. My friends have gotten angry with me. They're like, you're tweeting a little more often. I'm going to have to turn your notifications off on the phone. I don't care what you thought about a 3 hours ago Big Brother episode.
All right. So be on the lookout for that. And of course, if you want to, get even further involved in all of the madness with the Survivor and the Big Brother, of course, you become a patron of Rob Has a Podcast. Rob has a website.com/patron. Eric, did you happen to see I posted my interview with Sean Kniff today?
I actually downloaded it. I'm extremely excited. I, as a reality TV stalwart, always love a good throwback. I mean, my favorite returnee was Jervis for that very reason, just because, I mean, it's great. They're there from the beginning and have such a unique perspective on it. I'm excited. Was it a fun one?
Fun interview with Sean Kniff. That's in the podcast feed as well. And with that in mind, let's bring this baby home and tell you what to look forward to next time on The Summer of Stein. I am so upset that Eric sat in my chair when I wasn't here, and now I have the worst anal itching I've ever felt in my life, and it's because of Eric.
Rob, you have no brains in your head. No brains. No brains at all, and I don't know why you keep trusting me. Put my anus in your chair.
Did you say anus or yadis?
Yeah, both. My anus is gone on yadis.
Next time on Summer of Stein.
What's wrong with Rob?
When I wake up in the morning and I'm feeling dread and loathing, there's a pounding in my weasel-shaped head. By the time I check my Twitter and start feeling sad and bitter, I regret my day already, wish I'd stayed in bed. I'm not fine, but it's a summer of Stein.
Hi, Haley.
Hi, Julie, you look iconic.
Thank you so much. Hi, Haley.
Hi, Julie, you look extravagant.
Thank you. Hi, Haley.
Hello, Julie, you look ravishing.
Thank you. Hi, Haley.
Hello, Julie, you look breathtakingly beautiful.
Thank you so much. Hi, Haley.
Hi, Julie. You look absolutely stunning.
Thank you.